The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yo, what's up? This is the Talking the Star podcast, and we are so excited to be here today and talk the star with you. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, here with my co-hosts. And as you see, I put some emphasis on that S this time because I do have two co-hosts with me today. If you have listened to the Talking the Star podcast over the last year, it has been me and my co-host, Dalton Miller. And we've had a lot of fun doing that podcast, but we did have some big news hit. Last week, we had joined forces with the SB Nation Vox Media podcast crew, and we are now still the Talking the Star podcast, but we are joined forces with Blogging the Boys in SB Nation, and we are so excited to bring you this Talking the Star podcast on a much bigger platform. But let me introduce you my co-host, Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. And my second and newest co-host, Cole Patterson. You can find him on Twitter at Cole Patterson. He writes for Blogging the Boys. Dalton does a lot of draft work. He owns his own draft website. And we, as I mentioned earlier, are so excited to get this podcast underway and to your ears. First off, I want to ask my guys how they're doing today and if they're ready to dive in and talk some Cowboys football.
Doing great. I'm excited.
I'm always ready to talk Cowboys football. I've been waiting for this to get going again. We had to obviously wait a little bit, and I have takes, so I'm ready to talk.
That's right. It's been going. It's right. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on the air, and as I'm sure
it's
you
been
know,
killing me.
There has been so much that's happened. We have had suspension news, drug failed test news. Who knows? Whatever you want to think that has happened, it seemed that it has happened. But today, we are here to preview the Giants game, Sunday night football game, this coming up Sunday, and wrap up the 16-8 loss that the Cowboys had last weekend as they took on the Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to spend the first few minutes of this podcast putting a ribbon on that game. Wasn't a lot of positives to take away that game, but we are going to start it out. Each one of us is going to go through, give you one positive and one negative that we took away from the 16-8 loss the Cowboys had last Sunday. I'm going to start it off with Dalton. I'm going to let you go ahead and give me your one positive and one negative that you took away from that loss the Cowboys had last weekend.
All right, bat and leadoff. It's what I like to hear. All right, so I'm going to go with I'm going to get the negative out of the way real quick. And it's not something, you know, I could talk about Dak or the wide receivers or the play calling or whatever. I really just want to talk about the overall sloppiness that this team showed on Sunday. And I think that it's partially because they hadn't really played in 21 days. Do I think that this is going to be some high-powered, explosive offense that's going to move the ball up and down the field and score a bunch of touchdowns? No. But I don't expect them to be this bad the rest of the year. The penalties, especially the penalties from Tyron Smith, the block in the back call at the beginning of the game on the screen pass to Tavon Austin, and the other holding call, And then you also had Lyle Collins, who had a penalty as well. So just sloppy on offense, and I don't expect them to be behind the chains as much this Sunday against the Giants. Now, my positive is the secondary. They looked extremely good this past week, and I know that the Panthers don't really have a vaunted wide receiving core or anything, but they have some they have Funchess and Greg Olsen, who I felt like while he was still healthy, the team did a pretty decent job at covering him. And then obviously once he went down, you had to deal with the rookie Ian Thomas, who, you know, is a pretty good athlete, but he's not as far along. I'm interested to see how things go this week, but we'll talk about that a little bit more once we get to the offensive and defensive previews for the Giants. I just felt like the move to corner from Byron was great. He looks like a natural over there, and you know, Cheeto is obviously going to be Cheeto. We didn't see Jordan Lewis at all, but Anthony Brown looks good in the slot, so I'm happy with it. Both safeties played every snap, and you didn't notice them as being bad. So that's really all I have to say about the positive.
Yeah, and I like that you kind of went through that after the 16-8 loss, and you almost talked more about the positives than the negatives, and even your negative wasn't all that negative. It was more
because I've blown up the negatives on Twitter all week. I'm done with it.
Yeah, I mean, again, I agree with you, but before I give my positive and negative, we're going to float it over to Cole. Cole, what do you got? What did you take away from that game? One positive, one negative, what you liked, what you didn't like. What do you think?
Yeah, I just want to touch on a little bit of what Dalton said, just about the secondary. I really liked how Kayvon Frazier played. He seemed to be all over the field. He had 8 tackles. It was just nice to see with a lack of depth back there in the secondary. But what I really liked was DeMarcus Lawrence. He's the best player on this defense. He's really, him and Sean Lee are the two guys that make this defense go, and he seemed to come to play on a day that really everybody else struggled. I mean, he had 7 tackles. He got to Cam once, and he looks like he wants to be making a lot of money this offseason. He played like it. So, like our guy RJ Ocha said, his bank account was a big winner this weekend.
You said something that I totally agreed with. You know, you said that he was the best player on this defense. He's pushing being the best player on this team, even with guys like Ezekiel Elliott, you know, Zach Martin, is it Tyron Smith? I don't know that there's not a – he might be the best player on this team now, just the way that he affects the game.
I think it's still Zach Martin, but I think if we're just talking about, like, who's the best player at their position, who's got the most talent, I think it's still Zach Martin. But I agree with you because a guard isn't as influential in the course of the game. Yeah. So I would agree with that.
So, Cole, I cut you off because I wanted to bump up your DeMarcus Lawrence hype. But go ahead. Now let's talk about something you didn't like. There's always something, even in the big wins, that you're going to take away from that game and kind of shake your head at. So what do you got as a negative from that game?
Yeah, like, whereas Tank and even Charlton, where they played pretty well on Sunday, on the flip side, the offensive line has struggled. Some of that had to do with Dak making some questionable decisions, but some of that had to do the Lions defensive line, or I mean the Panthers defensive line, excuse me. We saw Connor Williams struggle in his first game. I mean, he has ways to go to develop. I mean, he's talented, but he gave up too many QB pressures. He gave up. He doesn't play well. Tyron Smith, he had that block in the back on the Tavon Austin screen. I just wasn't impressed with the offensive line. I was hoping they would come to play. I mean, I know Travis Frederick's absence hurts a lot. I was expecting a little bit more. Dalton kind of touched on how they haven't really played together. This offense has played together, so I'm sure that played a role. But overall, I know that everybody's going to question Dak and everything. I agree with that. I just want to see better performances from the offensive line moving forward.
It's hard to disagree with everything you said there, because it's you look at it, and Connor Williams had a not a terrible game, but you definitely could tell that he was a rookie out there. He had those welcome to his NFL moments.
Some of that had to do with this. The Panthers have a good interior defensive line, so I don't want to put all the blame on him, but
it was a unit. It was a unit failure for sure.
Yeah.
With Tyron Smith penalties, Lyle Collins penalties, their ineffectiveness on the edge. It was just an all around disappointment, I thought, from the offensive line, and not necessarily a failure. But you wanted them to perform better in this first game. The offense, you know, at the end of the year last year struggled. It just seemed like every time they would start doing something good, there seemed to be a sack or a hold. And it was like, man, you guys are better than that. Play better than that.
I think some of that has to do with we hold this offensive line in such high regard. Because, I mean, it's Great Wall of Dallas. They're up there with the best units in the league. I mean, I know, like I said, Frederick wasn't there. So, I mean, can't really put all the blame on everybody. It just wasn't a great performance, what you want to see right out of the gate, but I think they can bounce back.
I agree. I'm going to give my positive and negative real quick before we move on. My negative, I'm going to start with the negative, was the tackling from the linebackers, because it was a position that we touched on all offseason that we thought it could have been one of the best, if not the best unit on this team, because of the way we saw them perform in training camp preseason. Jalen Smith looked like an all-pro. You saw signs of Damian Wilson even playing really good football. You know, Sean Lee didn't play a lot, but you just expected him to show up on Sunday at 4:35 and play at a high level, and we didn't see that. Jalen Smith was really a non-factor in that game. He had a couple of times where he got turned around. I don't think it had anything to do with his injury, but he just wasn't taking the right angles to the football, and he was able to get out of position by Christian McCaffrey putting a move on him. Sean Lee missed 4 to 5 tackles that just resulted in, you know, 10. It seemed like every time he missed a tackle, there was 10 yards after that first contact. And you just won't beat good football teams when you're giving people free yards. And it was just it was a rough day for those guys. Damian Wilson didn't play well. Sean Lee didn't play well. Jalen Smith didn't play up to his standards. Leighton Vander Esch had a couple snaps. He didn't make any plays that showed to me on tape that he couldn't handle it, but it just wasn't a great performance from that unit as a whole, that I expected them to be one of the better units on the team. My one positive that I do want to, you know, talk about real quick is I really did think that the second half, especially, the wide receivers were doing a pretty good job of getting open. They didn't, you know, catch a lot of footballs. They didn't. You wouldn't know it unless you turned on the tape and watched it. But I thought Cole Beasley was absolutely fantastic on Sunday. He was open. It seemed like every route he ran. You know, even Terrence Williams, I saw him getting open a little bit down the field, in the short areas of the field, in all levels of the field. Those guys seemed to be getting open. Michael Gallup wasn't creating quite as much separation. He was very slow off the snap, but I did like what I saw from him as far as being physical at the top of his routes, creating that last little bit of separation with his physical style of play. But the tight ends as well is the one that kind of surprised me, seeing Blake Jarwin and Jeff Swaim get open down the field. That makes me think, okay, maybe this drop-off won't be as big as we thought it would be. Of course, it didn't result in positive results, but it was something that caught my eye and said, you know, hey, if Dak Prescott can pick up his play and he can start seeing this field a little bit better, they might be okay. And that was the positive that I took away watching the All-22 and seeing those guys get open, especially in the second half.
I agree with that.
But yeah, let's put the Panthers loss to bed. Let's wrap that up, put a bow on it, stuff it in the closet,
Thank God.
To forget about it. And let's
232 yards of offense. I want to stop seeing that stat.
Let's move on to the New York Football Giants. What can we do better here? You know, we got a couple minutes to talk about it before we go to our first break. What can this Cowboys offense do better against this Giants defense? Obviously, the Giants played the Jaguars last week. They lost a pretty close game to a team who has a really dominant defense, but their offense kind of sputters at times. What can this offense do better? I'm going to start it with Cole this time. What do you see this offense being able to do to exploit some of these matchups against the Giants defense? You know, specifically, I want to, you know, kind of keep it towards the passing game since we didn't see that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been on Twitter recently, you've seen the comments that Landon Collins made. They're going to stack the box. They're going to make Dak win this game. And yes, they should. And I mean, Dak, I mean, he hasn't played well lately. I mean, dating back to the last half of last season, going into the game against the Panthers, I mean, he hasn't played very well. So, I mean, I like to see, first and foremost, better offensive line play. Just give Dak a little bit more time against a pretty good defensive front that's given the Cowboys some problems in the Dak and Zeke era. I would like to see Beasley continue what he did, continue getting open. I think Dak's up to the challenge. Like you said, he said challenge accepted. So I expect to see him find the open man. I mean, him and Beasley had that magical 2016 season, but defenses were able to take him away last year. So I'm hoping that we can see a little bit more of Dak to Beasley reunite, starting with the Giants.
No doubt, for sure. I agree. And you look at B.W. Webb's the Giants' starting cornerback. He played with Dallas for years. He plays as their starting nickel corner. That should be a matchup that Cole Beasley just can't wait to get on the field and exploit.
Oh, I agree.
That should be – if you're looking for some fantasy football advice and you got a PPR league, go grab Cole Beasley this weekend, because it's going to be it should be a rough game for B.W. Webb. But, Dalton, I want to turn to you, get your thoughts on what you think this offense can do to exploit the matchups. You know, actually – Cole gave us some offense. What do you think this defense needs to either do or continue to do to play at the level they played at last week?
Well, I think and one thing that I wanted to bring up from the game from last week is we saw this team be a little bit more aggressive, especially on third downs. They blitzed Cam Newton quite a bit, which is something that we haven't seen in the past from Rod Marinelli. We're going up against Eli Manning, who is trash, one, and he gets very flustered in the pocket when he is pressured. So if we're able to pressure him, I think that this defense is going to have a field day. And, you know, I'll talk about it in my prediction later, what I believe that the defense will be able to do a little bit more. But you have to stop Evan Engram, and you have to stop Odell Beckham Jr. I think what this defense is going to do is make sure that they make Eli throw the football. I think we're going to have a lot of the same game plan as the Giants do against our offense, because if you take away their run game and get them into longer situations, I don't think Eli is good enough to get them out of second and third and long. The biggest thing that they need to do, though, is make sure that Saquon isn't able to get to the edge on them. Because if he gets to the edge on him, he's gone. We've seen that. You know, he's a boom or bust kind of runner. It's just the way it is. I did quickly just want to talk about the offense. Them going up against a 3-4 this week, I think, will help them a little bit more, because you're going to be able to get the guards in Zach Martin and Connor Williams to the second level more, blocking linebackers, which is definitely going to help Connor Williams, because his big issue right now, being a rookie, is his strength.
Now, I'm glad you touched on the scheme change for the Giants, them going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, because I think that can be a huge win for the Cowboys as well. To me, I always look at it, the more you have, you know, it would normally be Olivier Vernon for the Giants. To me, he's not a linebacker. He needs to be playing with his hand in the dirt. The more you have him having to not rush the passer quite as much and maybe playing some more in coverage and chasing some runs down, that's a win-win for me, because, yes, he's a dominant pass rusher, but I don't see him as a guy who when you play in that 3-4, those linebackers do a few more different things than just rush the passer. When you're a 4-3 defensive end, it's almost go get the quarterback every time nowadays. And the other thing is the Giants' weakness is their linebackers, and I think in that 3-4, as we mentioned, you have what we consider four linebackers on the field instead of three. Whether you consider that linebacker position a linebacker position or just an edge position, you can do it however you like, but it's technically a linebacker. And what you can do with those linebackers is have them cover you know, the Cole Beasleys, the Ezekiel Elliotts, you know, the Tavon Austins. Get Tavon Austin in the backfield with Ezekiel Elliott and get those linebackers having to cover one of those two guys. I think that could be a huge win for this offense.
Nah, fam. Nah, fam. That's creativity. That doesn't happen.
It makes too much sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just don't see how you could watch, you know, the some of the 3-4 teams that play with not very good linebackers. Why wouldn't you put as many talented backs in the backfield, having those not very good linebackers in man coverage with them, and then get them the ball? That just sounds like too smart to me. But as we talked about, you know, there's some things that they like doing, yeah. Some things they don't. But I think that the defense, the second half defense, was phenomenal. They knocked some of that tackling rust off that I talked about. They started making those tackles. They started putting containment on Cam Newton. The coverage never faltered at all. I think what's going to help them a lot this week is when they don't have to worry about the quarterback running. And that was kind of what hurt them on defense last weekend, was when Cam got out of the pocket, he would get 10 to 12 yards every time, it seemed like. So they don't have to worry about that anymore. So they can throw some exotic blitzes. They can, you know, keep coming without worrying, crap, we got to contain Newton. We can't blitz him and let him get by us and he's off to the races. They don't have to worry about that. And we're going to talk.
You sure Eli won't be taking any QB keepers?
Yeah, you never know. You never know. But yeah, we're going to talk more about Eli Manning and the Giants offense when we come back from our first break. We're back on Talking the Star. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. I'm here with my co-host, Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. And you can find my other co-host, Cole Patterson, on Twitter at Cole Patterson. Me and Cole do a lot of work at bloggingtheboys.com. Make sure you're following along all of our articles per week there. We're joined up with the Vox Media podcast platform, putting out the Talking the Star podcast, along with other podcasts for over at Blogging of the Boys. Michael Sizemore, Tom Ryle are doing a Bruising the Boys podcast. As well as RJ Ochoa, he's doing his normal Ocho Live podcast, and then he is starting a new podcast with a Super Bowl Dallas Cowboys champion, Tony Casillas. Him and RJ are doing that as well, so we are bringing you a ton of new content for your big, beautiful ears to listen to about the Dallas Cowboys. Before we hit our first break, we were mentioning the offense. We were mentioning Eli Manning. We were mentioning some of the things that this defense is going to have to do to contain this Giants offense, and that's where I wanted to start with coming out of the break. Cowboys defense did a pretty solid job at containing the Panthers offense last weekend. The things they had to worry about last weekend change a little bit. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, you were going into stopping Christian McCaffrey, stopping Cam Newton, and kind of putting a focus on Greg Olsen. Those focuses shift a little bit. Yeah, you still want to worry about Saquon Barkley, but the Panthers didn't have an Odell Beckham Jr., a Sterling Shepard, or an Evan Ingram. When you look at what Evan Ingram does, it's nowhere near similar to what Greg Olsen does. So you have to defend them in a little bit different way, and I wanted to start off getting you guys' takes on what you think is the best way to go at their offense. I'm coming out with a post on Blogging the Boys either tonight or tomorrow that was a scouting report on the Giants offense. I'm going to, you know, kind of give you a sneak peek into that when it's my turn to go. But I wanted to start it off, and we're going to throw it back over to Dalton. What do you see from that Giants offense and what this Cowboys defense has to do to keep them into containment?
Like I said a little bit earlier, you need to stop the run first and foremost. And it's not stopping the run like we would normally think, because this offensive line that we're going up against, the Cowboys are going to be able to get pressure. The Cowboys are going to be able to penetrate gaps and really cause some issues in the backfield. I think that we're going to see a ton of negative runs. this week with Saquon Barkley, and that's partially because that's who Saquon Barkley is. He's not somebody who is going to just take what he can get and fall forward like you would see with Zeke. He's somebody who is going to stop prior to the line of scrimmage if he's got pressure in his face and try to bounce something outside to make a big play. So it's going to put a big toll on guys like Taco Charlton and Randy Gregory to be able to hold that contain on the outside. And then when we get into, you know, the back half of the defense, how will we handle Evan Engram? I really believe that's the biggest thing that we have to worry about on the defensive side of the football. I think that on the outside, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to get his. It's just the way that it is. He's too talented not to catch the football. And he might have, you know, 10 to 12 to possibly even 15 catches. It's limiting his ability to hurt you after the catch and hurt you down the field that we need to worry about. With the offensive line being poor and our defensive line having a good pass rush, they're going to get the ball out quick. They get the ball out quickly. We need to be able to rally and tackle because they have guys on this offense who can make people miss.
Yeah, I loved your point there about you know, Engram, and then making sure that you are there at the tackle and you're rallying to the football. And that's one thing that I had made a big emphasis on in my article with Blogging the Boys, is there's times in that Jaguars defense last Sunday where Saquon would kind of get – he'd run into some trouble at the line of scrimmage, and it was like Miles Jack and Barry Church kind of stopped rallying to the football. And then he'd stiff-arm a guy, bounce off a guy, and he was 15 yards down the field, and they were catching up. You can't take those plays off with Saquon Barkley because, like you said, there's probably going to be 10 plays where he doesn't gain a yard and or loses multiple yards, and then there's going to be 10 to 15 plays where he bounces off a guy 3 yards in the backfield and then gains 13. You just can't take those plays off to where you go, okay, he's got him. I'll take a step back. I can take my breather, and he's got it. Because with him, sometimes they've got it, and then sometimes he makes that guy look like an idiot, and he's 5 yards down the field with open grass in front of him, and the whole defense is chasing him.
Yeah, and real quick, I just wanted to touch on, he only had 2 catches, this Saquon Barkley. He only had 2 catches in the game, but he was targeted multiple times in that game. How will Jalen and Sean Lee be able to handle that? Are we going to see Joe Thomas more this week, who we only saw for a couple of snaps last week? That was kind of surprising to me. But we need to be able to handle him out of the backfield, because if he catches the ball in space, it can go 80 yards.
Yeah, and I love, before we get to Cole, I really love what I saw from you know, Mike Shula, the new offensive coordinator in New York. I loved what he did with that offense because he used so many rubs, that rub concept that we see that's technically an illegal play, but he used it a ton to get Odell Beckham a step or two advantage against Jalen Ramsey. Even on some of his third downs, there was one of the receptions Saquon had on third down. It was a 3rd and 5. The offensive line was playing bad. Eli was playing bad. What did he do? He threw Saquon out in the flat, threw him a ball in motion, and he got 7 yards. It's stuff like that that I really hope the Cowboys end up opening up to, because when your quarterback's struggling, when your offensive line's struggling, and you got man-on-man coverage with the running back and a linebacker, throw the ball to Ezekiel Elliott, and if he doesn't make a man miss, that's on him. That's not on anyone else. You give him a good ball, he's got a few yards in front of him to work with. He needs to make that linebacker miss. He was the 4th overall pick. He's what we consider one of the best backs in the NFL. If he can't make a linebacker miss to pick up 5 yards, that's on him. But I wanted to turn it to Cole. Cole, what do you think? What do you see? Especially, we didn't talk much about the secondary. You know, we kind of talked about covering Evan Engram. We obviously talked about Odell. It was more so containing Saquon and Dalton's point. I do want to talk a little bit about now about what the secondary needs to do to contain guys like Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram. And they have a few other receivers as well that get on the field. Rhett Ellison's another tight end who had a decent day as the second tight end. But what do you see them being able to do in the secondary to control the passing game?
Yeah. For all the problems that the Giants have along the offensive line, even with Eli Manning aging and everything, there's no problem. There's no question mark surrounding their wide receivers and weapons. Yeah, it starts and ends with Odell Beckham. I mean, he's the go-to guy. He's really the guy that's going to change the game for the Giants. It can change a win, can change a loss to a win. We saw that back in 2016, the second time these two teams played in New York, that ugly, I believe it was 10-7 game, where Eli just threw that slant to Odell. Odell took it 70 yards and won them the ball game.
Yep.
So I'm interested to see. I mean, we brought in Chris Richard for one of these very reasons. I mean, we want to see our secondary improved. I'm curious to see who we have guarding Odell and who takes Shepard, because both of those guys can turn 5-yard gains into 15-yard gains. So I want to see if Byron, if he can keep up, if he can defend Odell. I mean, you're not going to make him a non-factor. He's going to get some catches. He's going to get some yards. But, I mean, we have to prevent Odell from hurting us and getting into the end zone. And on Evan Engram, there's not many tight ends like Engram. I mean, he's pretty much a wide receiver playing tight end, but he can still block. He's going to be a weapon down the middle of the field. I liked last year in week one, Awuzie, his very first game, he played pretty well against Engram in his very first game. He graded out as one of the better rookie defensive backs that week, and I'm interested to see if they go back to that plan, if we see Awuzie guarding Engram, or if they're going to switch it up. So, I mean, that and obviously having Jalen or whoever guard Barkley out of the backfield is going to be key in this game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like what I saw, because in the week, I guess it was 15 matchup when the Giants played the Cowboys, Jordan Lewis actually had a lot of coverage on Evan Engram as well, with Cheeto. And it was weird because Jordan Lewis didn't see a single defensive snap last week, but that was a guy last time they played the Giants. Jordan Lewis really played very well against Evan Engram, which you wouldn't think they would match up well, because Jordan Lewis is 5'8", and Evan Engram 6'2", and just a freak athlete. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if they'll do
whoa,
that.
Whoa. I think you're underestimating how tall Jordan Lewis is.
He is 5'8", bro.
I'm going to have my producer look that up real quick.
But yeah, you know, I just...
We need our own stats guy.
Yeah. If you're looking for, you know, hey, if you want to be our intern, give us a call. We'll go through your resume for sure. But
he is 5'10", sir.
That's on ESPN.
195 pounds.
They measured him with cleats on. You know that.
No, draft profile, 5'10".
Yeah, they still got cleats on.
At the draft, you know better.
But yeah, you know, I really like your guys' point there. And the one thing that I kind of want to tease from the article that I'll have you have coming out on Blogging the Boys is you cannot limit Odell Beckham Jr.'s ability in that game, but you can get to Eli Manning, and that can affect how much he can produce in that game. Because if Eli Manning's off, Odell Beckham's off. That's the only way you're going to limit him, is making sure that Eli is getting those happy feet, he's dropping his eye level, he's falling on the ground, flopping so he doesn't get hit, or he's just closing his eyes and throwing the ball like he started to do at Jacksonville when they started to apply that pressure. So if you want to limit Odell Beckham, get those blitzes going early, have Eli just under duress the whole game, and he's going to, his lack of ability is going to make up for Odell Beckham's elite ability. It's going to even out, because he has to get on the ball. And if he's under duress, if he's not making accurate throws because of the pressure, that's going to limit what Odell can do. So that's, you know, kind of what my big thing is getting in Eli's face and knocking him out of the game early will affect what he does with his receivers later in the game. But let's go ahead. We got a couple minutes before we have to take a next break. Let's quickly preview what the Cowboys offense needs to do against the Giants defense. I'll go ahead and start off. The thing that I'm looking at now is you're not facing quite as talented front this week that you saw last week. Dalvin Tomlinson, Damon Harrison, B.J. Hill, those guys are great players, but I still don't think they're in the category as disrupting a game as Kawan Short, Dontari Poe, Julius Peppers, Mario Addison, Luke Kuechly, Shaq Thompson. It's just those guys aren't in the same class, in my opinion, other than Damon Harrison, who I think is the best one technique in football. So I think you have a better front to block, which should allow you to run the football more, which should allow you more time in the pocket, which should allow you to get those routes to develop downfield before you're leaving the pocket or before you're panicking. You should not be quite you shouldn't be as under duress as you were this week, as you were last week, as far as speaking on Dak Prescott. Ezekiel Elliott should have some room to run, especially, I think, you know, when they ran that 4-3 with Olivier Vernon, Jason Pierre-Paul, Snacks Harrison, and you know, the other talented Dalvin Tomlinson guy they have there, that's a tough front to run against. But now you're running against just three guys lined up on the line of scrimmage with the edge linebackers coming off the edge. And I just don't think they're not nowhere near as talented as Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul and Kareem Martin. And, you know, they mixed it in a couple with Lorenzo Carter last week. So I think you have a much better matchup in the front seven. I'm going to let, you know, Cole start it off now and talk a little bit about what he wants to see this offense exploit on the Giants' defense.
Yeah, just touching on what you said, we got to get the run game going. That we need the offensive line to set the tone, just remind everybody that we have the best rushing attack in football. I mean, we need Zeke to eat. We need him. I mean, obviously, they're going to stack the box, so it's going to be a challenge, but I think Zeke has the ability to pick up some yards, and he has the talent to change like a 2-yard gain into a first down. We didn't see much of that against the Panthers, but like you said, I mean, Panthers might have the best front in football, at least they're up there. So what I like to see is Linehan get Dak some easy throws, just get his confidence going. I mean, I'm sure he didn't have the best game last week. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Just get him going. Throw some screens. Hopefully, we're going to see Tyron get another buck in the back or anything like that. That would not help. I would like to see us get some easy plays to pick up some yards on first down. Because when we were behind the change, it seemed like the entire game. I mean, we were seeing like 2nd and 12, 3rd and 11, stuff like that. So if we can get Dak some easy throws to make, I think it'll open up the offense.
I agree. Dalton, you got a couple minutes before we go to break. Let's go.
Yeah, so quite simply, Dak needs to be better. And not only does Dak need to be better, but Dak will not be able to, and this offense won't be able to run the same old 10-yard hitch curl routes. There's too many routes coming back to the ball, and that is what Janoris Jenkins feasts on. It's what he does. He comes up and he plays the ball. You are going to be able to beat him if you try to get the ball downfield, if you run a couple of double moves. You have to take shots downfield. Dak Prescott has thrown the least amount of balls downfield since he came into the league than anybody else. You need to take shots if you want to win football games. And that's the biggest thing that I saw when I went through the All-22 this past week, is that he just will not take shots. He's totally averse to it. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's from up top, if it's from the coaching staff and the ownership, where we're saying, hey, you know, be that bus driver, don't turn the ball over. And that's fine if you get ahead of the chains, if you're able to run the football, and if you get ahead of the game early. And I think that that's a big reason why we always take the ball first, because we want to score first. But guess what? We come out and we go 3 and out, and then we get behind, and then you have to make Dak make plays. And that's something that in the past 9 games, we haven't seen him do. And with the exception of really the playoff game against Green Bay, when he gets out there and he just plays, he hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't shown the ability to carry a team. And like I said, and like I've said on Twitter a million times, that's okay if you get ahead. You're able to do that. But if you need to go out and win a game, I expect you to not go and act like you're going to throw the football, literally go through the motion of throwing the football, and at the last second pull it back down and try to scramble away, take a sack, and then it gets blamed on your offensive line. Fact of the matter is, Dak Prescott has got to be better this week if we want to win this football game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it, like you said, if you want to beat good teams, and I think the Giants aren't a bad team, I think they're a tough team, he has to play better. And I think, for one, it starts with him, but for two, and you talked about it a little bit, you know, it's not all on the offensive line, but the struggles were there enough to where I think it did have him seeing some of those ghosts and going, all right, you know, I've been getting pressured a little bit, you know, I gotta make something happen. And the best way for him to get into a rhythm, for me, in my opinion, is to get the ball out quick and don't have the pocket collapsing every other snap. If he can have a little bit of time and he can be doing the things he feels comfortable doing without, you know, the edge rusher blowing by Lyle Collins and hitting him. And again, the stat that I saw that everyone kept talking about was his time to throw, and they were talking about a little bit on the 105.3 The Fan today, is that didn't intake the scramble time as well. That was from when the ball was snapped to when it was released. So it's tough to look at those numbers sometimes and make them make sense. And that was one that I looked at and I said, man, if he had that much time, it just didn't seem like he did. And then they talked about it today where it didn't have anything to do with.
There were times where he had to bounce out of the pocket early, but the times where the play ended up being a sack, a couple of those times, they were his fault.
No, yeah.
And I'm just talking about the sack plays. Now, there are plays where he has to use his legs, and they need to use his legs more. Totally. He has the ability to scramble for some yards, and they need to take advantage of that.
Cannot agree like to see more.
I like to just see us, like Linehan, Gary, I like to see us run a, not really a Panthers offense, but just an offense similar to what they run. Let Dak use some read option stuff. Yeah. Do some RPO stuff.
He
can hurt defenses with his legs. We've seen it. It's just, I don't know if it's him trying to prove that he doesn't have to use his legs to be a quarterback, or if it's just offensive staff not wanting to risk injury with Cooper Rush and Mike White behind him. But if we, like what we saw when we scored our touchdown, I mean, the speed option to the right, I mean, if you're going to defend Dak and Zeke in the open field running, I mean, not many defenses can do that. And then on the 2-point conversion, he used his legs to get that. Earlier in that drive, he picked up a first down with his legs. I mean, I just would like to see us just utilize that more. I think it can open a lot of things up.
Definitely. And we're going to talk about that.
Use the legs to go up tempo.
We're going to talk about that when we come back from a quick break. We'll be giving you our game predictions for the Cowboys-Giants Sunday night football game this Sunday. We'll be right back. And we're back on Talking the Star, and we are here with you these last few minutes to give you our game predictions for the Cowboys-Giants game this Sunday night. Sunday night football, nothing better. I can't wait to hear and see Carrie Underwood on Sunday Night Football singing her little song, doing her little dance. You do it, girl. But yeah, let's knock out these predictions. We only got a few minutes left. We're going to start with Dalton, then we'll go to Cole, and then I'll wrap it up, and we'll get you guys out of here. Dalton, let's hear it. What you got?
So we are not going to go 0-2. I firmly believe that. I believe that we're going to win this football game. I also believe that this defense scores a touchdown. Please. I think that we'll be able to get to Eli Manning. I think that we'll be able to get an interception, and I believe that we're actually going to get a couple of interceptions, and one of them is going to be for a touchdown. I think that this defense needs to put points on the board if we want to win the football game, because I don't think the offense is going to fully be there even in week two. Now, for the score, it's going to be 21-17. That's it.
You got the Cowboys.
We score three touchdowns, two of them on offense, one on defense. They score two touchdowns, and they kick a field goal. And Brett Maher still does not have a field goal.
All right, let's hear it, Cole. What you got?
Yeah, I actually do kind of think the offense I mean, I don't think we're going to score 30 or anything, but I kind of think the offense starts to get things going in the right direction. I think we see Dak get his confidence back, move the ball down the field. I think Linehan opens the playbook a little bit more. I think we get to Eli Manning on more than one occasion. I have a score similar to Dalton's. I think it's going to be a 21-10, 21-13 type of game, similar to last year's week one matchup.
Gotcha. I'm going to finish it off. We're going to do three W's here. I have the Cowboys winning a 19-11 matchup. I think Brett Maher comes back, kicks a couple field goals. We score
That'd
a couple touchdowns. We move the ball better, and that's all I'm looking to do here. I don't expect them to come out here and just look like the Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers. I just want to see him move the ball efficiently, get down the field, don't have three and outs. You know, I don't mind, you know, you punting, but make sure you're moving the ball. Hey, guys, we got to wrap it up. We're on time. I really thought that was an awesome first podcast. We covered a ton. We're going to be hopefully joining the podcast and publishing a podcast every Wednesday and Friday. That's the hope, fingers crossed. That could change. But for now, we're going to go ahead and get out of here for you. We appreciate everyone listening. You guys are awesome. Make sure you are subscribing, you know, commenting, letting us know what you want to talk about, what you want us to hear, what you want to hear us talk about, you know, what you don't want to hear us talk about, and other things. Again, I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can follow me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. My co-hosts are Cole Patterson and Dalton Miller. You can follow Cole on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson and Dalton on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. We're talking the star. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe on all the mobile devices, and we'll see you guys next week. Go Cowboys.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.